You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number 23. I love that in this episode, ethical blogger Ellie Hughes digs into what it really looks like to shop ethically and the judgment and emotions that can come along with it. Ellie is the lady behind the blog Selflessly Styled, a blog dedicated to making ethical fashion and your personal style meet. Ellie is a corgi mother, aspiring minimalist, and style consultant who speaks to how you can make ethical fashion fit into your lifestyle. In this episode, Ellie talks about budgeting for ethical fashion, avoiding judgment, and diving on in.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate Meg Ross will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, Ellie. I'm so excited about our interview.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I am super excited to be here, albeit virtually.
Yes, of course. So to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how Selflessly Styled got started?
Absolutely. So I was not an ethical shopper or conscious consumer by any means when I first got into blogging. I was a admitted shopaholic and always at like Forever 21, H&M every weekend. And I had a blog just as a creative outlet, kind of a lifestyle blog. And then I watched the documentary, The True Cost, which I think is pretty widely recognized now. But if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, check it out. It's on Netflix. And this documentary was not the first time that I had heard about, you know, the ethical fashion movement, but it was the kind of turning point for me. So it kind of brought to life some of the issues I had heard about for so long. And I watched that documentary 3 years ago and I decided, okay, that's it. I'm going to not support fast fashion anymore, which immediately led into 3 months of me not buying anything because I couldn't figure out where to shop. It was, though it was recent, it was pretty early into the ethical fashion movement being more mainstream. So I really didn't have a lot of resources, which led to me creating Selflessly Styled into what it is today, because I wanted to make that journey easier for other consumers who wanted to learn about the implications of where they were shopping and get connected with brands that were doing good.
I love that. That's always something I tell people as well. And where I started is just do some research. And like you said, there's a lot more resources now for people who are looking to be more ethical with their wardrobe choices.
Yeah.
And I think that's so great because it's a great place to start. And there are so many different layers to this topic. And I think overwhelm is such a common thing that happens anytime someone is starting to dip their toe into, oh, how could I be more ethical? Completely. So how did you kind of manage that overwhelm that happens when, you know, you watch something like The True Cost and it's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then how did you take action?
Great question. I think it's different for everyone. So my experience, I won't say is like the right way to handle it necessarily, but it worked for me. I just stopped shopping fast fashion cold turkey. And I know that that is really overwhelming for some people. For me, because I was so overwhelmed with what I was learning, it was less overwhelming just to quit cold turkey than it was for me to try to like slowly kind of change my shopping habits, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But because of that, it meant that I just really didn't buy anything for a while because I had not been accustomed to budgeting for clothes since I was buying really cheap ones before. So I didn't have money saved up for that. And it is definitely an investment when you're shopping this way. So I just didn't shop for about 3 months. And then I started shopping secondhand while I saved up for ethically made pieces as I needed them. So I would say with the overwhelm, I think that I've heard a lot of people say that they also find just transitioning their wardrobe a little at a time is helpful. Like committing to only purchasing ethically made shoes or bags, or starting with a category and expanding, I think that's a great approach too. For me, I was like, nope, I'm just too extreme of a person and I had to be done all at once. But then it was a very long time that my wardrobe kind of like slowly evolved into a more curated, ethically sourced wardrobe, because I don't believe in just throwing things away. I believe in using them up.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you're so right. Like, that's awesome that you could just be like, I'm doing this, I'm changing right now. I know for me, it was definitely, and my closet, I always say this, but is by no means like a perfectly ethical closet.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm just focusing on taking care of the things I own that I had purchased before I was really aware of the issues.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, slowly being able to transition those pieces out, either by finding good homes for them or just wearing them out or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, it doesn't do anyone any good to like throw away the evil clothes. Like, I used to talk with clients about that with styling. They would be like, oh, I just need to get rid of all of this because it was made in a sweatshop. And I'm like, listen, like the garment itself isn't doing any harm now. Like, you bought it and like it's there, and just use it up and don't feel guilty over that. And you can purchase differently next time if, now that you know, but there's nothing wrong with wearing something out that you have already purchased. If anything, it's better that way. Like you said, like it's more sustainable that way.
I completely agree. So you touched on this a bit, but as far as budgeting for ethical pieces, mm-hmm. can you speak to like that mindset shift that had to be made? Like, now I'm buying with less, but of course, you know, you know exactly what I'm saying.
Yes, so absolutely. It is, it is so tricky, especially if you are someone who likes shopping like I am. Like, if you don't like shopping, then you're lucky. If you enjoy shopping like I do, it is a huge shift to, first of all, if you don't have a budget, I recommend making one. It's really helpful as an adult. And then to set a budget line for clothing is really a kind of a novel idea for some people, because when you're shopping fast fashion, I've found that a lot of people don't even budget a line for it because everything is so cheap and they're just kind of continually accumulating. They're not making like a big thoughtful purchase that will make a dent in that month's budget. But when you start shopping ethically, I've found that it's really helpful to set aside a certain amount, whatever that may be, every month, and really prioritize what your future purchases are going to be. And I used to kind of do this exercise with styling clients as well. And we would look at their closet and we'd look at, okay, what are the gaps that you have and what are the next like 3 to 5 purchases that you need to make? And let's budget and have those specific purchases in mind. Because what can happen too easily if you don't have that mapped out in your mind is you have your budget and you have your money saved, and then you see that wonderful item that you didn't know you needed that you suddenly found from an ethical brand. And all of those same triggers in our brains that led us to shop at fast fashion stores, like, they still are real. Like, that idea of seeing something and wanting it right away. And I have made the mistake of blowing some saved up money on an item that was ethically made, that was beautiful, but honestly wasn't like the priority for me at the moment. And then it left me in a really tough situation when I did need like a winter coat and I should have been saving up for that. But I had just blown my shopping budget on a pair of shoes that I really didn't need, but that were beautiful. So I think, in as much as saving money is important, mapping out what your purchases are going to be and committing to that is super important as well.
I love that you spoke to that, because I agree. It's not like, oh, if you buy ethically, like, that's awesome. But it's also like a change in your habits mm-hmm. and in the way you see your clothing. That is, at least for me, what really made this change in my life sustainable, actually, for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you speak to the unattainable perfection that you felt surrounding the term zero waste? Because yeah, I've heard you speak about that before, and I really like that. So yeah, can you just speak about your story behind what that looks like for you?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, disclaimer, I still don't self-identify as a zero waste human because the term kind of irritates me because I can't do it perfectly.
Yeah. Yep.
So I recently returned from a trip to the Philippines a couple weeks ago, and it was a zero waste trip. And I was really intimidated by that. I was mostly going on the trip frankly, entirely going on the trip because of the ethical fashion component and sort of the cultural component. And then I found out that it was zero waste. And I was like, whew, okay, deep breath. I'm still going to go. And I'm going to be the worst zero waster on this trip because it's not a part of my life at home. And I know that that takes a lot of discipline. I do try to be sustainable, but man, just to be honest, I got into this movement of ethical fashion from a social justice, human rights perspective, and the environmental implications have really come secondary for me. And I now realize how important they are and how those really do bleed into people's lives. But it's not something that I have as much knowledge on. And so it's a lot scarier to me. And just the term zero waste, literally before I went on the trip, I told people like, oh yeah, we're going on this trip. It's zero waste. That means that we're not going to produce a single piece of trash the whole time we're there. Like I was like, that is what zero waste means to me. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much on this trip about the gray area within zero waste and how they're really is not a way to be a functioning human, at least in a modern Western society, and not produce any waste whatsoever. But zero waste, I think, can more be a mindset of doing the best that we can, cutting back where we can, and sort of growing from those little steps. I highly, highly respect people who can do like the completely zero waste. Like I read about this family who only made one bag of trash per year or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I highly, highly respect that. But I think that those sort of examples can kind of alienate and have that unattainable perfection that I find so intimidating and make me feel like, oh, why even try? Like I can't do this perfectly. So I'm not even going to try. Which is a super unhealthy mindset because I think that if more of us just made those little steps, we would see a greater impact than trying to go all in and then feeling discouraged and then giving up.
I think that's such a great point. And yeah, back to the overwhelm, right? And especially if you're trying to clean up your closet, like that is a feat in itself.
Yeah.
And then to transition to feel like you also need to be cleaning up, you know, excess in your kitchen and in your waste and everywhere else can be a lot.
I think that's so true. And when you're starting somewhere, like you said, your closet, and that's where I started too, frankly, in the realm of being thoughtful about like my home and my purchases. I think mm-hmm. the cool thing is it's kind of inevitable that you will start thinking about those other areas, like your kitchen and what you eat and like all this mm-hmm. other stuff. But if you start thinking about all of that from the beginning, it's just like run for the hills. Like I can't do this. It's too much change all at once. But you're so right that when you start with like one area, eventually you'll kind of end up addressing others likely. At least that's been my experience.
I completely agree with that. So kind of along the terms you were just speaking about, how can we avoid judgment in the mm-hmm. ethical fashion space?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that's a big one. To clarify, are you thinking more avoiding judgment like that we feel directed at ourselves when we fall short or more kind of our mindset looking at others and other brands?
Well, you can speak to both. That would be great.
Yeah.
I guess the question was derived from, I'd seen that you had talked about this a bit before and I loved it because as an ethical label and someone who speaks about slow living, you know, I feel like there's judgment on me. I put judgment on myself.
Yes.
And there's just a lot of kind of icky feelings that go along with trying to do something really great, you know?
Totally. Yes. That awareness can be so positive and make positive change, but it can also bring a really, really cynical mindset. And I have battled that since day one, maybe since day like five in this journey. It's been pretty early on for me a realization that when you become very passionate and very excited about something, even if you are trying to be positive in the way that you communicate and gracious in the way you interact with others, they can feel judged regardless of what you say or how you say it, just because they feel kind of guilty or defensive about something. So I had this kind of weird revelation about how people get defensive and like why they get defensive about this and why they feel judged. And it came around the idea of eating vegan. So I am a terrible vegan. I'm a good vegetarian, but I still eat cheese sometimes. And I noticed that when I told people that I was vegan, specifically my family, who are not vegan by any means, are very much red meat eaters, I noticed that it was actually like a kind of negative conversation. Like it got pretty like defensive about like, well, like it's not healthy and all of this stuff. And it was a bummer to me because I felt like they felt judged because I said that I was choosing to eat this way, even though I said nothing about them. And then I talked to someone else in the family and I chose a different approach. And what I said was, I'm vegan, but I tacked on, oh, but it's not for like environmental reasons. It's just because like my specific body, like I'm starting to feel better this way. And I tacked on this element that was like, no, this is just about me. It's actually kind of a selfish decision. It's not about the environment, which is kind of a lie, to be honest, because for me, it is about the environment. But the way that that individual responded was so different. They were like, oh, good for you. I'm glad you're feeling better and that you're eating that way for you. And I started like observing this pattern that as soon as I explained something I was doing in my life and I made it seem like a little bit selfish, not even in a bad way, but just a little bit more like self-centered of like, I'm doing this for me, people were really excited to support it. But if I didn't add that little phrase, or if I didn't word things in that way, people would hear about what I was doing. And no matter how I phrased it, they would hear, hey, this is important to me. And you're a bad person if you're not doing it too. Yes. And it's kind of become this like little like secret obsession of mine to like kind of phrase things differently and see how people react to me, because it can be the same idea, but the way that people feel judged might not have anything to do with you even saying something judgmental. It just is like their own defensiveness. And that's a whole nother like tangent that I went on for way too long about. But kind of the idea there for me that I realized is that I have to be extra conscious. Like I have to go above and beyond to make people not feel judged when I am taking a stand on these things. I can't just say like, well, it's too bad if they feel judged or guilty because that's not my intention. Like, I could say that, but I'm still going to push people away because these topics are hard and there's some harsh realities behind them. So I have personally found that it takes a lot of individual responsibility on my part to kind of start to phrase things differently. When I'm talking about ethical fashion, to just be gentle, like talk about very harsh truths, but in a very gentle way. For people, and invite them instead of shaming them into participating. On the flip side, like on another end of that spectrum, I have found that there can be a lot of judgment in this ethical fashion world. And it's driven from a really good place. And I think that's what's hard. I think that we're all very idealistic and we're all very passionate about what we want to accomplish, but we're diving into an industry that is so messy. And if we were building something from the ground up, if the fashion industry didn't exist at all and we were creating something from scratch, I think that we could be more idealistic and a little bit more perfectionist. But the truth is we're stepping into an industry that has problems that go back for generations, and brokenness and exploitation and cultural appropriation and things that in order to fix them are going to take a lot of messy, hard work that doesn't always have a clear answer. And I've been learning that more and more, specifically through this past trip to the Philippines and then through my day job. So apart from blogging, I work for a large ethical fashion company. And you get a lot of flack from people, from ethical bloggers, from people who disagree with how you are going about the good that you want to do. And I think that as a community, it's something that we need to do better in. I think that we get so passionate about something and we're so quick to call out hypocrisy that we observe without taking the time to have dialogue with those people or those companies to learn the full story and realize that we're really all after the same goal. And so I think that my hope is to keep influencing the fashion industry as a whole to do better, but then kind of on a micro level within the ethical blogger space and within the ethical brand space, just to remember that like we really are all on the same team and to not lose sight of sort of the bigger picture.
Yeah, you brought up so many great points. I agree. That should have just been like the whole entire podcast, like just avoiding judgment, because it's just a space that you really can start to peel back layers mm-hmm. in. And, you know, it really goes deep into what's impacting how people are choosing to live their lives and how companies are deciding to make their product. And you made some awesome points about that. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for letting me. It's something I can talk for too long about. So I get excited when anyone else wants to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, I love that. So how has ethical fashion not looked like what you expected it to be?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of misconceptions in general about what sort of styles and what sort of apparel you can find made ethically. I have several friends who still say, you know, oh, like I would shop ethically, but I just don't love that style. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what style? There's so many different styles within ethical fashion. I think there's a misconception that I even had. I felt like I was going to have to make some big sacrifice of personal aesthetic when I chose to shop ethically. And I have been pleasantly surprised that ethical fashion looks so many different ways. It looks minimal and modern, or it looks bohemian and flamboyant, or it looks like casual and chic. And I've really found at least one or two, usually a dozen at least, but at least one or two brands that I could say speak to anyone's very specific aesthetic. So it's surprised me how many options there are, and that just continues to grow. Because I think from the outside, there's still a misconception about this industry and that you just have to dress a certain way if you're gonna be into ethical fashion. And I think there definitely are big pockets in it where that's true. Like there is like a larger presence of a certain aesthetic, but you really can find anything. So that has looked different than I thought. And then just the complication of it has been more than I expected, which kind of ties back to the whole judgment and grace and moving forward. But realizing that ethical fashion looks very different for different companies, and the way that we move forward is just going to be different. You know, it comes down to, are you manufacturing in the US? Well, that's going to look so different than if you are manufacturing internationally, but you're doing it ethically. And if you are opting to make a line that's vegan versus something that is, you know, using leather, but maybe it's not producing as many chemicals as the vegan option. Like there's so much nuance to it and so many complicated, exciting conversations to be had. And I did not expect that. Like when I first heard about ethical fashion, I thought like, oh, okay, it's black and white. Like this garment will be labeled ethical or not. And now I'm learning that that is not the case whatsoever.
I think that's what makes it so challenging as well. And like with the food movement too, mm-hmm. like there is just actually no one right way or one wrong way.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there's so many different things that go into it that it's completely a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And one that's very worth having. And I think that it can be a conversation that scares people away, which is why we have to be so socially and emotionally aware as people who are speaking out about it.
I completely agree. And kind of along those lines, what gives you determination not to quit, like shopping ethically and trying and sharing for those moments when you're kind of like, is this worth it? Like, yeah, should I be doing this?
That's a great question. I mean, from the shopping ethically perspective, to me, that doesn't take much grit or determination. Like at this point in life, years into this, and it's just become a habit. And I would also say, to be fully transparent, being an ethical blogger, I mean, that is a privilege in and of itself. And so now I do receive items that are gifted from brands. And so that's a whole area that I want to make sure people understand that there's a reason my closet has, you know, so many of these brands in it. And that is a privilege. With that said, the thing that I find that takes a lot of grit and determination is for me to continue to talk about this publicly and to continue to invest time and energy into Selflessly Styled, because it's not my full-time job. I work more than full-time. I work quite a bit, a job I'm very passionate about. And so there have been more occasions than I would care to admit where I have been on the verge of deleting my website, shutting down Selflessly Styled. My husband is usually the person that talks me off the edge and encourages me to keep going with it. And it's not that I don't believe in it, but I think that there's just a point of exhaustion we all come to. And when you get out of the honeymoon phase of talking about something, you can start to get a little discouraged about, you know, what am I even doing? Does this even make a difference? And I have found sort of two tricks. One is out of my control and one is in my control. So the one that's out of my control that I think has been completely serendipitous and I'm very thankful for is every single time I've been on the verge of giving up or shutting things down, I have had either someone in person or a text or a DM. I have had someone that I barely know reach out to me and say, I just wanted you to know like how much your work has inspired me to change how I shop or how much it's allowed me to find my style or shop ethically. And those honestly are the little tiny moments that keep me going to know that real people are being affected and getting excited by this. And I feel like that's completely just grace that has allowed those to happen right in the moments that those people have no idea I'm thinking about quitting. That's happened. And then additionally, because you can't always count on those moments happening, what I have done is I have a little folder in my email inbox. And anytime someone emails me with a message like that, sometimes they come in at times that I am feeling really positive and great, but I file it away in this little folder called encouragement. And I keep just this running backlog of messages from people that I've received. And I look at it on days when I'm feeling like my work doesn't matter or like the problem is just too big. And I go through, and for me, it really humanizes the experience to see individual names, individual messages, and to remember that even if my work only affected these handful of people, that it's worth continuing to go. So, yeah, those are kind of my motivations, are clearly always kind of interaction and human driven. I'm sure it's some sort of personality thing, but that's my biggest, drive to keep going. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Just the encouragement. That's a great idea, because I agree. When I'm feeling the same way, it is just those personal one person saying that like you helped me, and that makes like more of a difference than almost anything else. Yeah. It seems like.
Yeah.
So I agree. It's important to remember those times when you're like, oh my gosh, this is hard to keep going, but worth it.
Totally.
Right?
Totally. And then I think, of course, I didn't even mention that, of course, the like keeping the bigger mindset of the people who are in the fashion industry, the garment workers and all of that. I think that keeping that in mind is kind of the continual drive that keeps me going, and having, you know, faces behind products and keeping that in mind as well. But sometimes that's a little bit harder to bring front of mind because you likely don't have a personal connection with those individuals. So that's kind of like a larger driving force.
Oh, yeah, that's great. What would you tell people who are interested in starting to shop more ethically, but just feel like it's too intimidating and they're just not ready to dive in quite yet? What advice or encouragement would you have for them?
Yeah, I would say, dive on in wherever you're at. There's really no reason that you can't be an ethical consumer today. Like, your closet could look the exact same yesterday and today, but if your mindset is different and moving forward, you want to be aware of the effects of your purchases. That's literally it. Like, it's literally just up to you moving forward what you do. And I think knowing that, as we touched on at the very beginning of our conversation, you don't have to throw out everything in your closet. In fact, please don't. You can just keep what you have, wear it out. When you need to buy something, look into these brands and know that there is a giant community of people now who are doing the same thing. It's not just the bloggers that you see. It is so many everyday, real life families, individuals, college students. I'm amazed at how many people in different phases of life I meet. So just know that there are other people doing it, and you definitely can. I think just making people feel less powerless in that, and you don't have to have a giant budget to be involved in this.
I completely agree. Yeah, that's such a great point too about like, it's not just this like the bloggers that are doing this. Like people are doing this and maybe just not sharing or maybe just like it's their personal journey. And that's super important to keep top of mind as well. Mm-hmm. What are you working on right now that you're the most excited about?
Well, I just finished this, but it's kind of ongoing. So I'm really excited to have my entire closet exposed on my website. So there's a closet page where I went through and I was like, man, I've shared like glimpses into my closet before, but I want to have a committed page where people can always see what I own, have links. For me, it's not so much like, oh, here, look at this wonderful ethical wardrobe that I have, but more as an inspiration of you really don't need that much to have a great wardrobe. Minimalism has been a huge part of my personal style journey. And so I was really excited to have that up and have it be a resource, hopefully, for people to see like, okay, you can really live with this amount of clothing. And for me, it's a big accountability piece where I'm like, my closet is there publicly. If I start accumulating a ton of stuff, I'm committed to like photographing it and linking it and putting it there. And so for me, it's a little bit of accountability too, to make sure that I am practicing what I preach about like not over accumulating. Even if it is ethical fashion, I personally think that it's still important to be really conscious about how much you're buying and consuming. So that's something that I just finished. And then heading into holiday season, I'm getting ready for a bunch of sort of ethical fashion, not even fashion, actually, just sort of do good brands, gift guides. So I have more gift guide info coming out this year than I ever have in the past. And I'm excited to get that out in November to give people time to kind of save up and shop before the holidays.
I love that. Both, I just like have to cut in because I think those are two awesome things that you're working on. And just speaking about putting your closet online, I think that is such a great resource as well for, you know, women like me who might be like, okay, like I love that she showed that in a blog post, but like, what does she wear every day? And like, what are the things she goes back to? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like that's really helpful for someone who's looking for everyday clothing that will serve their lifestyle.
Yeah. Good. I'm so glad.
And then the gift guides too, because gifting is a huge place where waste happens, right? And so to just be conscious with our gifting and make them even more special and unique, I think that's such an opportunity for people to get started even and continue to just be more ethical and mindful. So that really makes me excited too.
Totally. I know I'm feeling super excited to get it out there, and I'm in a little bit of denial that it's already that time of year, but I'm excited for what it will bring for these brands too. It's a big time of year for ethical brands, as I'm sure you can speak to. And I think that it's so exciting as consumers to have like this reason. We're already buying more than we normally would since we're gifting, like you said. And so what a cool opportunity to really boost cash flow for these brands that are working really, really hard to do things right.
Oh, that's amazing. So if other people are as excited as I am about all the cool things you're up to, where can they connect with you online?
Yeah. So my website is Selflessly Styled. It's cute written out, but it's a pain to say. So opposite of selfish, S-E-L-F. Oh my gosh, I can't even spell it that quickly. It's like the worst name. But selflesslystyled.com. And then I'm on Instagram as selflessly_styled. I always just tell people it's opposite of selfish, and then they usually find it.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on with me. I enjoyed this conversation so much, and I feel like we could have just dove even deeper into all the things. We just skimmed the surface, but I loved some of the talking points we brought up, and hopefully it starts some more conversation.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Meg. This has been such a joy to chat with you.
I feel like Ellie and I could have talked for hours. I love how she peels back the layers on ethical fashion and all of the different ways that it can look. The fact that there is no one right way to shop ethically is part of what makes it so challenging and can lead to hard conversations that scare people away. I love that we were able to start the conversation in this episode. Changing our wardrobes also means changing our mindset about our clothing. And in this episode, Ellie provides so many tools to do just that. If you want more, check out the show notes for this episode at www.simplylivedinpodcast.com. And until next time, Simply listeners, keep showing up as you are for a life that is simply lived in.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep up your quest for less.